Western states in the U.S. suffer from ravaging wildfires captured by satellites in space. BBC reports on August 14th that parts of western U.S., including California, are faced with the worst drought in decades. According to BBC, the wildfire raging in South California, known as the Dixie Fire, has developed into the second biggest wildfire in the state's history and keeps evolving. What's more, Oregon is also fighting the biggest ever fire in its history. According to U.S. media, Earth observation satellites of NASA and private companies have captured the imagery of the destructive fire. A U.S. forest fire expert has told journalists that the fast-spreading fire is caused by extreme drought, to which the global climate change is the main trigger. How should we protect ourselves in a wildfire? Make sure you get away immediately. Do not panic or try to put off the fire. Evacuate quickly and avoid the direction in which the fire spreads. Do not go up the mountain. Follow easy trails towards areas of fewer plantations. More importantly, human beings should all work together to protect the environment. We should minimize deforestation and increase forest coverage. Enhancing photosynthesis in the ocean and reducing carbon emissions also helps. Let's cherish our one and only Earth. Robot Chef, the first AI community canteen in China. The Hongqiao Community Canteen is the first canteen that applies artificial intelligence, AI technology to create an intelligent cooking system and automatic payment process within a community canteen. Every 5:30 in the afternoon, rush hour for dinner starts. The Community AI Canteen, located on number 1004 Hongqiao Road, has received quite a few guests already. The canteen is about 130 square meters big, but everything is well organized and in good order. Under the help of AI technology, the moment when a customer places the noodle bowl on a fixed location, the robot chef will start making noodle and put it into the boiler. Once the noodle is cooked, which is normally under 2 minutes, the robot arm will lift the noodle into the designed bowl, adding soup and topping ready for serving. The whole process is controlled by AI system without the need for human interface. At the canteen entrance, there's an intelligent snack machine and a takeout box available 24 hours. The snack machine is around 2 square meters and equipped with multiple functions such as order receiving, food preparation, packaging, and storage, etc. under energy-saving model. You can place the order by scanning the barcode and the snack machine will provide you with freshly made food in a very short time, and it's available 24 hours a day. The takeout box, on the other hand, provides contactless takeout receiving service, which has sterilization and temperature controller functions supported by intelligent temperature control system and remote monitoring system. You can pick up your takeout anytime you prefer. However, the canteen only works with a limited menu so far, and the neighborhood is expecting the AI Canteen version 2.0, which can provide more cuisines. Meanwhile, looking forward to a more mature and extensive application of the AI cooking system in a wider setting to bring everyone more convenience. News from ChinaNews.com.
Tusk tests reveal woolly mammoth's life journey. A woolly mammoth that roamed 17,000 years ago covered enough ground in its 28-year lifetime to almost circle the globe twice, analyses of one of its tusks suggest. The findings, detailed in a study published in the journal Science, show how the male mammoth went through infancy and youth as part of a herd, but died alone from starvation in mountains in the north of the U.S. state of Alaska. The mammoth's movement was traced through analyses of chemical markers called isotopes in one of its well-preserved tusks to generate more than 400,000 data points for the study. The scientist sliced open the tusk, exposing the layers that were added as the animal grew. Dr. Wooler said those layers were like ice cream cones stacked one inside of each other. A close-up of the split mammoth tusk and the blue-stained scientist used to reveal the growth lines. In its early years, the mammoth, named Kit by researchers after the river where its remains were found, moved around the area that is now the lower Yukon River region in Alaska. Though glaciers extended far south at the time, much of Alaska, including that region, had no glaciers, Dr. Wooler said. Instead, the region would have been low, flat grassland that was ideal for grazers such as woolly mammoth. It was probably hang out with the herd, with its mother and other members of the herd, Dr. Wooler said. At age 15 or 16, the mammoth dramatically increased the distance of its travels, heading from time to points, much farther north and higher in elevation. It was likely the mammoth left the herd at this time, Dr. Wooler said. He said its behavior mirrored patterns in some modern elephant herds, in which mature males were encouraged to head off on their own. In its later years, the mammoth roamed some routes that its caribou use today, Dr. Wooler said. He said it was possible the mammoth shared migration paths with ancient caribou as it traveled seasonally to find food. The analysis of its tusk showed that mammoth was 28 years old when it died and probably starved in its final days. It looks like, in its last year of life, it slowed down to not much moving around, Dr. Wooler said. We had kind of a smoking gun of what killed it. Dr. Wooler said the study that more than just satisfied curiosity about extinct Ice Age creatures. He said it was also relevant to species living in today's rapidly changing Arctic environment. Our work helps shed a light on environmental concerns we have about modern animals like polar bears and caribou that live in the Arctic today, he said. A palm-sized beetle found at the riverside by two Chengdu kids turned out to be an endangered species. On August 15th, a special express was sent from the Huaxi Entomological Museum in Dujiangyan City. Enclosed was a donation certificate that read, "Dear Yu Tong Kong and Liu Tao Kong, your donation of the Carotnus jansoni specimen has been accepted into our collection. This certificate is hereby issued to you as a commemoration." What's the story behind such a donation certificate issued by Zhao Li, curator of the Huaxi Entomological Museum? It all started from an outing on August 10th. On that day, the 8-year-old Yu Tong Kong and his little sister, 5-year-old Liu Tao Kong, went to the Jiezi Asian town in Chongzhou with their parents. While they were playing by the river, Yu Tong Kong was suddenly attracted by a dazzling golden green light on the bank. The strong curiosity drove the siblings to walk toward the light, which turned out to be a palm-sized beetle. Its body was auburn and its head golden green. It laid motionless on the stone and seemed to be drowning. They had never seen a beetle that big. Their mother, Miss Yuan, immediately searched on the internet and found that beetle resembled a Class 2 protected species, Carotinus jansoni. They contacted the local forest police right away and went to some lengths to get in contact with the Chengdu Huaxi Entomological Museum in Dujiangyan. Curator Zhao confirmed that beetle was indeed the precious Class 2 protected species, Carotinus jansoni. However, it was heartbreaking that the authorities were too late, and that beetle was died from drowning. Later, after professional treatment by the museum, this beetle was made into a display in the museum. On the label were the name of the two young donors, recognized for their eco-conscious actions and the full support from their parents. Curator Zhao says that as we continue to build park cities, the ecological environment around us is getting better. Many insects that used to inhabit in mountains and forests has also migrated and settled down in cities. We wish that we could continue to live in harmony with these small creatures, so our cities improve on ecological value and become harmonious and beautiful.
A peaceful childhood for kids in Afghanistan, please. Afghanistan was a hub of land transportation between the east and the west geographically. It also was the civilization crossroads between the two cultures in the ancient times. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Afghanistan was very modern. It had a modern public transit system. Women had the right to go to school and work, and they could laugh freely on the street without a burqa. The country's strategic location has been wanted by many as it provides an easy access to the central, as well as other parts of Asia. The land has witnessed numerous military campaigns. The Soviet Union sent troops to Afghanistan in 1979. On September 11, 2001, Taliban terrorists hijacked airlines and crashed into the World Trade Center Building 1 and 2 in New York, USA. The two buildings were collapsed one after another, and the United States sent troops to Afghanistan right after, causing major damage to the city infrastructures. With the help from the United Nations and international communities, a new government has been formed with the purpose to rebuild basic livelihood faculties. The United Nations Children's Fund is also working hard in providing aid to local children. However, right after the United States withdrew troops from Afghanistan on the 1st of May this year, the Taliban launched another round of attacks on the Afghanistan government in August, and the Taliban have taken control of the capital, Kabul, on August 16. We sincerely wish the situation in Afghanistan can be stabilized as soon as possible so that children can grow up in a safe and peaceful environment.
Today in history, August 21st. On August 21st, 1986, Usain Bolt, the retired sprinter who won men's Olympic 100-meter and 200-meter titles at three consecutive Olympics, Beijing, 2008, London, 2012, and Rio, 2016, was born in Tawny, Jamaica. Bolt also holds the world records men's 100-meter and 200-meter sprints. Bolt was not born into a rich family. He was expected to become a tenor at an early age because of his loud voices. However, as he got older, Bolt stood out amongst his peers with his tall height and reach. Because of this, he got selected for his school's cricket team and was labeled the fastest bowler on campus. His cricket coach at the time noticed Bolt's speed on the pitch and urged him to try out sprint events. As a sports school freshman, Bolt was found lacking dedication to his training. To help him make a mark in school, his mother overloaded herself with extra sewing work to prepare nutrition products for Bolt. As a result, she suffered low back pain. Bolt turned professional in 2004. Beginning with the Caribbean Free Trade Association Games, at which he became the first junior sprinter to run the 2,000-meter in under 200-meter in under 20 seconds, setting a world junior record of 19.93 seconds. From then on, Bolt stared at the next three Olympic Games. Right after the 2017 World Championships in London, on August 14th, Usain Bolt returned to the track of the 2012 Olympic Games to bid one final goodbye to the sport with a lap of honor. Following this season, he was honored with the President's Award at the 2017 IEF Athletes Awards.